Well, renovating a house, how do you do it? I mean, renovating a house, it's one of the craziest and most normal things in the world. It's hard to envision it, but at the same time, it's a lot easier to envision than building a new house because you've already got the house. And when a lot of people buy houses with little babies and stuff, they really have to think about, well, they're going to grow up here. What's going to happen? And a lot of people starting out buy houses that other people want to move away from because they're kind of maybe dated or odd. And you really couldn't imagine living the rest of your life in this house, which didn't look so good or function so well. And when these new little rugrats come in, they trash the place, they take over the place. And so you got to figure out what the heck, how the heck am I going to make a house that deals with these little things that run around and break things and scream, but then they grow up to be these big things that do homework and, you know, demand food.
And break things and scream. Like,
yeah, but those involve police as opposed to, you know, sitting in the corner somewhere. But we're here in Madison with Paul and Leslie Gustafson on a beautiful little street in Madison where we basically took, I think you'd call it, would you call it like a Cape Ranch or a Ranch Cape or a
ranchy, capey, ranchy?
It's not a cranch.
It could be a ranch or something. You know, and it had the classic thing of an incredibly useful, was it like 14 foot wide, 12 foot wide garage, one car garage? I mean, perhaps the most useless garage in the history of mankind. And then the ranchy thing that had been a big addition added onto it, I think, what, in the 70s or 60s, something like that. But in between them was this weird little breezeway thing that had a kitchen in it and had a porch that came off from it. And it was really clunky, and it was a terrible front door, no overhang. It was really awful. And so they called me as an architect, and basically, why don't you guys tell us what you wanted out of the project when you thought about it?
Well, you know, the kitchen really didn't function like we needed it to. I mean, it was very narrow. I mean, you couldn't open the refrigerator and walk, you know, down the hallway, you know, to the stove or to the dining room table. So it was really narrow. And like Duo said, when we had the babies, you know, all of a sudden we have a stroller and a bouncy seat and everything. And there was even not any room to move around or cook or anything. So, and we didn't have a place to eat as a family, which was a really big problem, I thought. You know, we could basically cook our food, but then there was no table where we could all sit down and eat together. So we wanted to have make a kind of a great room kitchen that would be a common space where we could gather and, you know, cook and sit with the kids and work on their homework and all that kind of stuff. And also to create some more storage space, we added some closets and a laundry room and everything. So it used to be also that the laundry space was also in the kitchen. So we'd have the doors of the laundry open. We'd have all our laundry all over the floor. We'd be trying to cook, you know, with the kids and, you know, getting into everything. And
there was all that, but I think equally awkward and dysfunctional was the whole entryway that we had here. And
you had to turn a corner.
People never knew which door. There was an entrance into the kitchen and then into the main room, and people didn't know which door to use, and then they'd always get lost leaving, too. Where do I go, I think, was a real issue.
What was also great was that it came off of this naked porch. It was just this naked, 20-year-old pressure-treated wood porch with these pre-Home Depot. I think it was actually Caldor's purchased. Caldor's purchased turned finials on them. And you kind of knew where to go, but once you got there, you didn't know where to go after you got there.
I describe this house as Caldor mid-century.
Exactly. Archival Caldor.
And we used to like to say that, you know, the house didn't look like much from the street, but when you came in, the kitchen notwithstanding, when you walked into the house, you had a really nice living room, dining room, some nice bedrooms. So we felt there's a lot to work with, but the kitchen was just...
That's important. Like, after describing this house, you might think, well, why did you ever buy this house? And in fairness, we love the location. Yeah. The yard is fantastic. You know, it's very proximate to town and to the beaches. And
we have a nice marsh in the back, so a nice marsh
view.
So
it did have a lot of strengths, really.
It really had it had enormous strengths. And part of that was, and what really... in a way defined the project, was there's a pool in the backyard. There's a pool you don't want to give up. It's great. There's a screen porch that actually overlooks the pool. And we had to figure out, how do you make a connection to the backyard visually and functionally when you've got screen porch and pool that you can't and don't want to move? How do you make that happen? So we did some strategic window placement and made a space that was two stories high at its far end. Did a zoomy roof that goes straight up. So we have tons and tons of light flowing into this upper space without having to look directly at or through the porch. So there's a lot of light. It's almost like you're outside in there. There are three strategic skylights. And it makes an openness which is really out of scale from what you see from the street, because we kept the street side of the addition, we kept right down low, right with the house, actually made a cute little rooflet that comes out and a recess for the entry so that even though we're really hard by the front yard setback, we could actually get people into the house in a way that was clear and shaded you from all the elements before you came in. And there was a real point of opportunity where we could take out an entire wall of the house so that when you walk in now, immediately to your left is a mudroom, a bathroom, and a laundry. In front of you are closets. And then to the right is the formal side of the house, and to the left is the informal. So you're coming into one door, and everything spreads out from there. And I don't know, we haven't occupied yet. It's coming close. But it wasn't just me they talked to. They also talked to a gifted kitchen designer. Why don't you talk a little bit how the interaction went with that?
Well, we worked with Fletcher Cameron Design over at Guilford, and we wanted a contemporary space. And so finding a contemporary kitchen designer is, we found out, not the easiest thing. So we went to Fletcher Cameron because that's what they specialize in, kind of Danish and European style design, and they do all custom work. And, you know, we have a unique space here, you know. We have a big wall with windows, which is uncommon in a kitchen, so we had to really figure out the placement of things pretty carefully. And, you know, coming to the aesthetic was pretty easy in terms of working with the designer, in terms of choosing the kind of cabinetry and finishes and hardware we wanted and stuff. But the tricky part was the placement, you know, getting everything we wanted, you know, and putting it in the right, you know, proportion, giving it enough space for everything.
And let me amplify that, because if you walk over here, when you get to this, there's a little wing wall that comes off to the side, and there's a recess in this wall. And if you look at it, you see there's a plug over there. You say, well, that's got to be the refrigerator, and it is. Well, we had to figure out really early on, before it actually got framed up, if we were going to put a refrigerator, and we wanted, because it's sleek and linear, we wanted to have the front of the refrigerator line up with the cabinets and not pay the extra, what, guys, like $1,500 for a 2-foot deep refrigerator, actually have the 27-inch deep refrigerator. If we could actually recess it by 2 inches, everything would be perfectly flush, and it would feel like it truly is a clean, crisp kitchen. And the one thing that I give total kudos both to the Gustafsons and to the kitchen designer was 95% of the time when we do these range hoods over the island cooktop, I find them to be overwhelmingly present. And really, because they have to be low to be functional, and I find them to be just awful. Well, they found, or she found, whoever found, they found a thin,
Leslie found it,
a thin, perfect range hood that, because we created so much space around it, does not feel like this horrible blob. How did you guys find that? Because it is perfect.
It wasn't our intention initially to use it. We had looked at downdraft systems, and then our kitchen designer informed us of how much space they occupy underneath in the actual cabinetry. And so we had to go back to the drawing board and think of alternate solutions. And also, downdraft isn't as efficient. It's not as effective. And so that was part of our thinking, too. And we scrambled in one day. We looked online mostly, and we ran it past the kitchen designer, and here it is.
One of the other challenges, I think, too, with the kitchen was that we didn't want to have any upper cabinetry, essentially. So that was kind of a, you know, because we wanted to preserve, we have all these windows. So there's, you know, the sink faces the windows, and then we have an island. A lot of our cabinetry is in an island.
And the island faces out into the space.
Yeah.
I mean, what's really wonderful about doing this for a while is that they you guys kind of knew about me from other projects and stuff, right? That when they told me that they didn't want any upper cabinets, I just was exquisitely happy, because I view them as almost something that should be outlawed in internal space zoning laws. They're horrendous boxes screwed onto your wall. So I think what's really wonderful is that when you get a synergy between, and also I think the builder, CJ Builders, has done a very good job here as well. Really good at making things come together and have a wonderful trim craftsman to make these very complicated but stock alignments of the trim just work. So when you can make the three legs of the construction stool, the owner, the designer, and the builder work together. In this case, you know, you've got a cabinet person as part of the designer builder team, and when that all works together, there's a synergy that I think makes it an extremely enjoyable event, even though there are moments of total freak out, panic, discomfort involving any construction project, especially renovations where you're living. And they've lived, these two little beautiful little girls in a construction site. They've lived through it, and they're, what, you got about another month before it's all done. And I think that if you've got a clear vision, and if you really are willing to make hard choices, you can totally transform your house, increase its value, and a house that was designed for anybody can be created just for you.
Duo Dickinson is an architect, author, and the contributing writer in home design for Money Magazine.